Well, what a crazy title for a sermon. Is hope any kind of sin? I mean, without hope, things would be hopeless. And then what would we do? So clearly, there's got to be some place for hope in our lives and in our hearts. So it's been nice seeing you, and let's have some coffee and carbs. It gets more complicated than that. I'm a rapid cycler, hope person. Sometimes filled with hope and enthusiasm, and sometimes just feeling hopeless. This week was a good week for some of those things. I'm going to get a little personal at the beginning of this talk about that. One of the first things that happened was Jennifer sent me an email with a link to a site about a young man named Paul Corby, who has autism, high-functioning autism spectrum disorder, who was denied a heart transplant for the sole reason, it appears, of his autism. Now, look, there are more, I'm not going to get into the meat of this, but there are more people who need hearts than there are hearts available, and doctors get to have some criteria and discussions about it. But this was so non-transparent, and it was such a clear case of saying, well, despite the fact that you've written a book, that you kind of function in the world a little bit differently from the normal people, we're not going to even wait list you or pretend that your life is worth living. Now, number one, I have to disclose to you that I have a grandson who is Asperger diagnosis with high functioning, and I had a stepbrother who lived for 15 years with a heart transplant, so I know the value of both. The lack of transparency made me crazy. When I researched the link that Jennifer gave me and heard the hospital spokesperson say, well, we don't want to tell you why we turned him down, because if we revealed the reasons we turned him down, it would be unkind to him. This is one of the great examples of bureaucratic garbage that I can think of. You almost can't satirize it, because what she was saying was, talking about why we're going to let you die would be more unkind than actually letting you die, which presumably then is kindness itself. I'm only making an argument in this case for transparency. No, that's not true. I'm making an argument both for transparency and for seeing the humanity in people who are different, emotionally different, intellectually different, maybe even, I know this one may push the envelope, politically different, may also deserve to be seen as human beings. I was up and down on the hope business around this. I wrote an article, it got picked up, it got circulated around the country. Facebook likes me. Oh, it makes me feel so much better about myself. And most of the comments that came through the Daily News and Los Angeles Media Group were really very positive about the issue. I mean, some people call me to task, but that's fine. But about the issue, there were not everybody agreed in one position, but they spoke intelligently the way you're supposed to. It got picked up by The Week magazine and WEEK, although I'm thinking of changing the spelling even though I'm a subscriber. And the comments on their website were, instead of 80% kind of positive and reasonable, were just remarkable in their vitriol and in their anger. And I sometimes feel hopeless about the possibilities of civil discourse in our world. There was another article that I wrote last week that got all my friends yelling and screaming at me, and it was an article about civility. Anyone that says this is a post-ironic world, forget about it. And I don't get upset by being disagreed with, honestly. But I do get upset when we human beings take tones with each other that are insulting, arrogant, condescending, and demeaning. Because we can, to the question, can't we all get along? The answer is, if we choose to. And that brings me to hope again. I said that I would explain that why I forgot things down here, and I may be a little off balance today, and it involves spending about 12 hours outdoors yesterday in the San Fernando Valley, and I found out you cannot replenish as quickly as it goes away, but for a wonderful occasion. And that was a wedding of part of our Mexican family, the family that my wife adopted and who adopted my wife 30 years ago from Puebla, Mexico. And they have been at all of our great events, and we have been at theirs. And it's not the metaphor family, it really is family. And Alejandra married an L.A. native, whom they met in a dog park, so they say that a dog brought them together. But since he is a fundamentalist, black, evangelical pastor. All right, I want you to just dig this for a second. Alejandra, who started life as a Roman Catholic and became an evangelical, meets a man who is an evangelical pastor, gets married by a Unitarian Buddhiversalist in the hills of Encino with all of the communities and families that look like America, that look like humanity, represented and answering the question, can't we all get along? And the answer was yes, wonderfully, honestly, intimately. It was in some ways what many of us hoped for many years ago. But here's why hope is controversial. Because hope, if it is only an emotion, can be a dead end. You all know the story of Pandora. And the issue around this, is, let me set this up for a moment, is that words don't mean exactly what we think they mean. Everything is open to interpretation. What does the Constitution say? Well, if it were clear, the Supreme Court could retire and go home, which at times with this Supreme Court seems like not a bad idea. What is cruel and unusual punishment? And the answer is, depends. It's not clear. What, all men are created equal? Do we agree that men includes women? We don't seem to agree on that yet. We don't seem to agree on created, which may be a theological idea, or equal, which may be a philosophical idea. It's all open for discussion. What does the Bible say about anything? Do we agree on what the writers or the editors, or if you believe that God wrote the Bible, was it a first draft and something better's coming later? Scholars don't necessarily agree on this. Honor thy father and mother. Well, what? Give them a dinner? Or prostrate yourself before them. The dinner's okay, the prostration's okay, the getting up with a bad back is another issue. These are all complicated issues of language and what is it that words mean. So when we look at hope, and hope must be okay theologically because Paul in Corinthians 13 says you should have faith, fides, faithfulness, sparrow, I'm sorry that sparrows aren't here today, which is hope, and caritas, charity or love, all of those seem to be good things. But when you look at the Pandora story, you understand that scholars and people who study myth look at that and say, well, we don't know what it means. There are several versions, several iterations. Pandora, and it means all gifts, was given a box. Already we have a problem because in the Greek it actually said a jar. Does it make a difference? Up to you. As a wedding gift, and told, don't peek. But she peeked. And out flew. Well, here's where the stories start to diverge. Were they blessing? Were there blessings in there that then turned into evil and filled the world? Were they all the blessings of the world that then flew off into heaven, leaving the world empty of blessings and filled with evil? Ah, but hope remained. Well, was hope trapped in the jar and not available to us, or is it the one blessing that remains and is available to us? There's no end to the discussion. And so people have looked at the issue of hope and said, look, it's something that's absolutely necessary. It's the most wonderful thing. It lets us, as the opening reading, engage problems that seem to be overwhelming. It's an incentive to be involved. And others say, no. Hope, sparrow, is related to espoir and esperamos, and we wait, waiting in Spanish, and that there's a passivity to it. Still, other scholars, and I'm not making this up, this would be too weird for me to make up, say that our word hope from the German Hoffnung actually is related to the word hop. And it means hopping towards something. Well, I kind of like that. Instead of, we're going to march on to victory, we'll hop on to victory, which just kind of gives a lighter air to it and a sense of rhythm that isn't quite so military and martial. And Jeff, where are you? Wait. The issue of rescue and hope are really central to religion and politics. Jeff transformed the Harry Belafonte song, which is fair. I once worked with a singer, I guess he was an act, Bob Grossman, who had a folk singer, who had a request to sing Hava Nagila, and he said, I can't do that, that's Belafonte's song. So, fair is fair. We can switch off in modern America. But one of my favorite examples of this issue around hope is the old song that was meant to give people hope for a different life in a different dimension. And it was, the devil, he wears a slippery shoe, you don't watch out, he'll slip it on you. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. The idea that you would take your fate into your hand and not just follow orders might keep you away from paradise. But in the civil rights moment, this was transformed as keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. It's the difference between passively waiting and then moving and engaging the world. Making your hopes not just passive dreams, but commitments to action, to making a difference. We can see this issue, in a sense, writ large in the presidential campaign and in the fight between the far sides of the left and the right about the role of government. Does government, in a sense, become a safety net that makes people lazy, or does it give people courage? Do you want government to do everything? Do you want government to do nothing? You need the magic of the marketplace from one viewpoint, and personal responsibility, and corporate responsibility. And by corporate, I don't mean business. I mean the corpus of America. You have competing philosophical ideas about what is an incentive and what is emotionally and philosophically crippling. And, of course, those are extremes, and the truth is that no political party is all one way, even if they talk that way, or all the other way. And we, as most semi-functioning human beings, with the issue of hope, know that if you only have hope and wait to be rescued from the sky, nothing will happen. And if you have no hope, you will not have the incentive to get up in the morning and engage the world. It is always a question of balance. And balance is always a question of movement. It's not being stuck in one place, but it's balancing back and forth and trying to find how do we mix our hope and our despair, our sense of needing to back away and our sense of needing to engage. Where do we get the strength? It is significant in American history that the Pilgrims did not sit in Europe and wait for God to come and build a bridge to America. They did not wait for a sky figure to come from the ground. To come down from the sky to the ground and rescue them and transform society. They picked up and they left. And the answer did not turn out to be, and they lived happily ever after. It was hard work. It was engagement, it was suffering, and sometimes it was dying, but it was action based on the hope, the faith, the belief that what they did could make a difference. Had they done nothing, that would have been a difference, but it wouldn't have been a good difference. In the Passover story, the Hebrews come to the waters, and the waters in the Talmudic version don't part until a man named Nachshon puts his foot in the water, and then it parts. And the Talmudic discussion of this is, well, God was ready to help you out, and your faith was really wonderful, but if you weren't willing to take just one step, the water was going to stay there. My argument with our hymn is that it's backwards. Every word of it is dear to my heart. But I think you begin with a song that inspires hope. You go on to words, and then you go on to prayers that again inspire the heart to believe that the steps that we take can make a difference. It's not a passive hope, it's an active hope, and it ends with taking just one more step. It may not make all of the difference, but it is the only possibility of making a difference. Just one step. My hope, my faith, my motivation is that hope held in balance gives us strength and moves us forward. It is not only passive, it is not only active. Together, it helps us create a better, more goodly world.